بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Allah Ta'ala had asked Musa alayhi salam, "Do you know how and when we accepted you?" So we hear the statement Qabiliyat and we hear the statement Qubuliyat, very capable. And we also hear that he is a chosen servant. So everything is said and done. Are you in the ranks of the chosen? After constructing the Baytullah, or whilst constructing the dua, Rabbana taqabbal. And the word that was used, taqabbal, on the scale of tafa'ul. So, it's got a little bit of tasannu in it, at times, not always. So here is, although we are not worthy of acceptance, but Allah Ta'ala will make us worthy. So some tasannu, takalluf. That is why in the nikah you don't say taqabbaltu, say qabiltu. Right? When you're talking to Allah Ta'ala, it's a different thing altogether. That you don't show how capable you are. So Musa alayhi salam was asked, but do you know where, which point? So there are two things that are recorded about Musa alayhi salam. We saw you on the plane of humility. You were total, humble on your foes. You thought absolutely nothing of yourself. So that's the point we accepted you. Then the second hadith that is quoted by Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullahi, every Nabi had to graze animals, sheep, goat, etc. And the hardest to work on is goats. As you're sending the flocks. So they're all going in a line and one decides to just move. Now you are pareshan one side. Do I look after this flock here or do I look after the one that is straying? So it becomes a problem. Then if one thinks of just sitting down, then you'll have a lot of struggle to get it up, get moving again. Now the herdsman can't hit the thing because it's too weak. And he can't leave it because the one that is straying will be devoured by the wolf. So, either sebane, other sebane, both ways. So in that he learns the lesson of endurance. So when I look at both the hadiths, it was in all your foes, humbled, thought absolutely nothing of yourself, you're crying in that state. So there the humility with Allah Ta'ala. Broke himself completely. And then with the creation, and he's herding his animals, and the one strayed. So he's chasing that thing, and that thing tripped. So he went and caressed the injury, and he says to the animal that you weren't concerned about me. At least you should have been concerned about yourself. You should have saved yourself from this injury. So the level of courtesy he showed to the creation, and the level of humility he showed to Allah Ta'ala. So this is the whole summary of righteousness. What is the level of humility and submission you show to Allah Ta'ala with cheer, not just submission but with cheer. And what is the level of humility and kindness you will show to his creation. So that summarizes the whole tasawuf. A lot of people have written books and all that. So near the kitab shop there is a counter for all unused kitabs or kitabs that are redundant now, they don't need them. So So I said, let me go and see what kitabs are called in the holidays at some time. So I saw a book on Tasawwuf. So I picked it up. A lot of things are factual, and he's talking about all the great awliya India, Mu'inuddin Chishti, Qutbuddin, Bakhtiyar Kaki, Fariduddin, Ganja Shukar, and then Nizamuddin Awliya, Rahmatullah Ali. But now, hadith says, من قال في القرآن برأيه فأخطأ وإن كان صوابا. You are speaking your mind about the Quran, then you are wrong. So the right thing is, any profession, anything, any science, you should learn it from those that were really skilled, went through the whole training, went through some professional guidance, they went through the whole thing, then you get an understanding. Otherwise, it's just speculation. It's pure speculation. So some good things he speaks about, but then there's a lot of speculation. Pandits are also good, and one is also good, and he also did some spiritual exercises. So the person that's reading it, he feels now they did some spiritual exercises, so they also on the same lane. They also broke the nafs, he also broke his nafs. So now, until they don't have the training with someone and under someone, then they lost, they're speculating. See? Within themselves, they think they're doing good, right? ضَلَّ سَعْيُمْ وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ سُنْعًا. Their efforts are all getting wasted, yet they think they'll be on the right. See this verse again. ضَلَّ سَعْيُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ سُنْعًا. Their efforts are all getting wasted. But you must look at the tafsir, what the Mufassirin have to say about this verse. So, they talk about the splinter groups, Mu'tazili, Shias, etc. So they are also striving, but then all their struggle is wasted. Although they think they are doing good, but everything is wasted. Because the fundamental things are not right. See? So this training, you have to go through the training under some spiritual guidance, and for a long period of time, sometimes 30 years, 40 years, you go through the training, and then it happens sometimes with someone, because of his sincerity, then Allah Ta'ala just throws him in. Right? Now there's a woman, and she excels certain great awliya, like if I get Nizamuddin awliya and all that, she excelled. So the awliya are wondering now, okay, how did this woman excel? Right, women are not encouraged to come to a khanqa and go through the training like men go through, right? Their training will be different. They also have to excel, but then how? So their training will be totally different. They can also excel, right? And their training will be different and much easier. But now, in this day and time, then they will not be encouraged to just go about leaving the homes, go to sit by mashayikh and all. Because the whole atmosphere is filled up with fitna. Now you've got a secretary working next to you. So what about thoughts won't run through your mind? Quite young, energized, and your wife is gone for umrah. Kya hoga? You can't say now, you know, I'm so consumed by my profession that I won't be stirred up by this, the presence of this girl. So that nafs has to be broken down, and broken down properly. That's why they say, in the past, the emphasis that was on tarbiyat was far greater than the emphasis that was on ta'lim. So I should think why, and Mu'tazila mentions this, right? The emphasis on tarbiyat greater than the emphasis on ta'lim. So one is disciplining the person, and one is educating. Both are faraz. But then, what's more important? The education or disciplining? So they say that the disciplining is even more important than the education. Because the disciplining is like the mold, right? You've got the mold, so you're putting something, it'll go right, isn't it? Cake, whatever. But you've got the mold, so the thing will go right. So this is why many a times people have opened up madrasas, so I tell them, see, at the beginning take a few students. Because the few students will be the mold. So once you got the mold right, then others will just fit into that mold. But now, from the beginning you got a huge population. Now to get the mold right, is it easy? It's going to be so difficult. So speaking about this woman, you get sometimes some cases where Allah Ta'ala will bless someone. And we all wish, you know, we could be that lucky person. So the reasons for acceptance is known to Allah Ta'ala Himself. But our work is keep on trying. Don't think now, I'm also shortlisted. Shortlist, I'm shortlisted. Everybody thinks like that. Wishful thinking. But then, is he the right one or not? So this woman now, and now she's one wali of the time, and she's overtaken. That is not the Zaman of Nizamuddin Awliya. So now he's wondering, hey, this woman, how? How did she overtake so many people, so great people? It's rather the 7th century of Islam. So she says, you see what happened? My parents got me married whilst my husband was underage. So what must have happened? A girl matures early, right? So she must have been about 12 years old. And he must have been about 10, 11 years. Now, he doesn't know what it is all about. Right? But she says, I respected the person exactly like how a Muslim woman needs to respect. The courtesy, the kindness, the service, everything I offered. The best of my ability. That was a training I got from my parents. So I see the training is greater than the education. She got the training. So when the training was right, then she went right. Whatever you put into her, she's taking it right. But the training is not right, then in Farsi they say, ilm bar tanzanad marshuad. Education, if it's just applied to the body, then it's a snake. It will look for ways to destroy you. But if it's applied to the heart, it becomes your friend. Now, this woman, so she came from a good background. May have not have knowledge about details, you know, Greek tafsirs and no, but she, the mold was done right. The disciplining was done right. Furthermore, Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullah speaks about the Western countries, and first, there was no education in these Western countries. Right up until 1880 somewhere, no education. This primary education till grade 5 or grade 6, and then they opened the doors. And they'll keep on opening. And when they kept on opening, now more than 70-80% of the population is single parent. So they couldn't maintain the barrier then. They couldn't maintain the limits. Because now she felt that she is also independent and she's earning as well. When she's earning and she's independent, then I don't need to subject myself to this man. That's how her mind works. Right? And that's what's happening in the Arab countries today. They're becoming educated. So they're getting paid in sometimes riyals, sometimes dirhams, and sometimes dinars. 50,000, 60,000. In rands, it'd be about 200,000 rands. So we're earning. So now why do we need to listen to this man? So I ask you, can that home operate? Can the home operate? Like how it's supposed to be operating? So we're talking about this woman and how she excelled. Sometimes they say, رحمت خدا بہانہ می جوید. اللہ پاک سیز دا ہارٹ, رائٹ, اینڈ دا ہارٹ از گڈ, ہی جسٹ لکس فار این ایکسکیوز ٹو فیور. سو شی سیز نو ہسبینڈ از انڈر ایج, نو میرے کام کا نہیں ہے, بٹ آئی شو ہم سیم ریسپیکٹ, محبت, لو, خدمت, ایوری تھنگ. نائٹ آفٹر عشاء ہی آسکڈ فار واٹر, سو آئی وینٹ اینڈ فیچ دا واٹر, اینڈ بائی دیٹ ٹائم ہی واز فاسٹ سنورنگ, سو آئی ڈونٹ وانٹ ٹو ڈسٹرب ہز سلیپ ان دا لیسٹ. دس از اے ٹریننگ, سو دس شی ریڈ سم کتابس, بگ بگ کتابس, تو دا ٹریننگ دیٹ واز گیون ٹو ہر واز رائٹ. When the training was right, she stood by him with the water in her hand, and his eyes only opened up, around Fajr, and straight away she presented the water. And she didn't say, he kept me standing for the whole night. She didn't even say that. With a smile, she presented the thing, and it was over. But now, see, one is now, I got so much of knowledge. So, that knowledge, what she would have done, she would have taken the water, put it by the bedside, covered it up with some plate or something, and carried on. But the training that she was given was not just knowledge, but knowledge with respect, dignity, and decorum. See that? See where the decorum, the dignity, where it is. Says from then, Allah Pak just took me there, just started escalating. But again, you see, What was the catalyst? See, this tarbiyat and then education. So, the West, when they went, they opened the doors of education, then they couldn't control it. But they couldn't control it, then the woman went out of hand. So she says, I got my life, you got your freedom, I got my freedom. So, woman in London, she was in court, right? So her husband had complained about her that she is being unfaithful. Now look at the education, educated woman. So she speaks to the magistrate, Your Honor, my husband is very, very unappreciative. He's complaining to you about the 5 times that I was unloyal. But he doesn't talk about the 200 times that I was loyal to you. See that? Brains. Rotten brains. She also had arithmetic and maths all that right. She had it right. But now, see that, bartan zanad, when you apply it to the body, then it becomes a snake. It will kill you. Or badil zanad, and you apply it to your heart, then it becomes a friend. It will save you. So now, one of the major reasons for this type of inconsistent pattern, when I think about it deeply, is because we have lost sight that أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ. Don't you realize that you have to stand before Allah Ta'ala? You can talk how big talks you can give. Right? You can do a lot of charitable works, do a lot of things, right? But all that will be measured by your consciousness that you have to stand before Allah Ta'ala. What's your consciousness? That you have to stand before Allah Ta'ala. What's the consciousness? Al-Mu'ad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, he's tossing and turning at night. So his family now, she saw now something not right. When she saw that something is not right, she goes, what happened? She said, I borrowed half a rupee is 5 cents from you yesterday, and I didn't pay you still. So the thing is troubling me now, I haven't paid you yet, and something happens now, then what? Now she got very disturbed, said, I'll hold you on to Qiyamah. But now, she felt that it's such an insignificant thing, then why must you make a noise about it? Why should you be worried about it? It's about dealings. The dealings have to be absolutely right. So I forgive him. So now then he slept nicely. But you see the consciousness, the awareness that Khuda ke samne mujhe khara hona hai. I have to stand before Allah Ta'ala and I have to give a detailed account and Would I be fearing right there? People may say what they wish to say. But then they are not the judge. The judge is Allah Ta'ala. Then is my documentation, my paperwork right? I want to present it to Allah Ta'ala. Yes, it's going to be right. That's why they say, An-nasu niyamun. An-nasu niyamun. People are all asleep. فَإِذَا إِسْتَيْقَزُوا إِنْتَهَبُوا. When the eyes open up, then you are awake. What? Now you are asleep. So when your eyes will open up, when you, no, فَإِذَا مَاتُوا إِنْتَهَبُوا. When you die, then will your eyes open. See that? النَّاسُ نِيَامٌ. All asleep. So when your eyes do open, is when you die. فَإِذَا مَاتُوا إِنْتَهَبُوا. Now to understand this, look within yourself. Right? The enjoyment that you had for the last 2 days, is it anywhere now? Is it anything more than a dream? You had that fish and kebab and samosa and all that. You can talk about, I went here, I had a drive in this motor car, whatever. But after the thing is over, then is there any trace of that pleasure? Trace of the pleasure gone, class. So that's what he says, that people are asleep. But when they die, then do their eyes open up. فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. Now, that seal that was on your eyes, we have lifted the seal. Now you can see exactly, correct, you can see things in perspective. But until then, your eyes were sealed up. So there's a lot of things that come in, seal your eyes. But when I look at it, when I think of it carefully, I think the greatest seal is our unmindfulness of the hereafter. How unmindful we are. It's consumed and consumed until the whole goal of the life is just to multiply, multiply, multiply. And then worse is then multiply whichever way. Halal, haram, cheat, rob, whatever. But I must just multiply, just go on. Then when you come into this multiplication process, then your ilm also is left one side. Hey, but this one hold like this, say something like this, and we can make a plan to make it jais and permissible. So you go open that door. Then is there any limit after that? Then the barriers just keep on breaking. One barrier, second barrier, third barrier, everything breaks. Then everything becomes permissible. Nothing is left as haram. See? Then after that, two things will happen. One is the motivation, the drive for good all dies in you. You don't have the drive in you. And number two, there's no barakat in your wealth, etc. Spending and spending and spending. And then there's no barakat. One man was here. So he says, I was earning about 15, 20 years ago, or even more. He was at the bank, and he was paid very well. 15, 20 years ago, he was paid about 40,000, so a lot of money at that time. He says, but by the end of the month, everything is gone. The things that I buy, they don't last. Breaking, not working, something's happening. I left the job. I wasn't comfortable with it. I left the job. Now I'm getting about less than half of what I was earning. But alhamdulillah, what I'm buying is lasting 10 years, 12 years, 15 years is lasting, no trouble. And I got barakat in my time. This muhabbat within the families. But you see this. Allah yazunnu ulaika annahum mab'usun. The fact that you're going to stand before Allah Ta'ala. How are you going to face Allah Ta'ala? The one that's alimun bidhati, so he knows exactly what's in the heart, what's in the mind. And I showed you Musa alayhi salam, and his story for success is when he broke himself completely, humbled himself on all fours in the plains of righteousness. He just broke himself. And for the creation also, he broke himself to, right to the level of humility. So with the Creator, he's got the line right, and with the creation also, he's got the line right. So in the Mutaqaddimeen, there used to be some words that they used to keep reminding each other. Man ahsana fima من أصلح فيما بينه وبين الله أصلح الله فيما بينه وبين خلقه. You correct your line with Allah Ta'ala, right? You correct, then He will correct, He will take care of all the relationship between you and people. But what's the secret? You correct that line. You correct that line, He will sort out these things here. Now you're doing this, you're doing 101 things, but you're not correcting that line. Then what's going to be the result? See? So the thing that you need to correct, you didn't correct that. One person is doing fishing as a livelihood. So he's got about 3-4 fish. And the police officer comes in and he says, give me this for 5 rands. Whereas the price of that same fish, so good, is 500 rands. You know, I use this as a livelihood for my children. That's my profession. I do this for a living. I'll give it to you, then my children, little infant children, they'll be starving. So you whooped him nicely. Just give it. What the person can do, can he do anything after that? So he went, saw a tasty, enjoyable, very rare fish. So he went to clean the thing, and one thorn pricked his finger. Now the pain becomes unbearable. Trying this, arad, and whatever else, nothing working out. Went to one doctor. Doctor says, mere bas ki baat nahi, beyond me, to go to a specialist. So the specialist examined it nicely, properly, says the gangrene is already set in and there is no other way but to amputate. Amputated the one and nothing moved on to the next finger. And so forth to the third finger. By then, Allah may have liked some of his works. So in a dream Allah speaks to him, until when, kahan tak tum apne haath ko katate rahoge? Till when would you keep cutting your hands? Us mazdoor ko uski mazdoori de do. Us machli mar ko uski mazdoori de do. The fisherman will give him it. He got up with a shock, saw the person, and as he sorted him out, the finger got sorted out, the hands got sorted out. But you see that, aslaha bainahu wa bain Allah, your relationship. Correct that. Now we're talking a lot of big things, but then the basic things are getting left out. And then our Islam and tasawwuf just becomes a theory. Discuss this, discuss that, discuss that. By tasawwuf to apply is not about learning so many theories. It's learn something and apply. You saw this woman here, and she applied herself. Right? She did make a long, lengthy discussion. But then Allah escalated her greater than the awliya of the time. So she learned what it was. She understood, all right, this is what's the requirement of a good, pious Muslim woman. She learned that. And she showed the respect, the dignity, the respect, the decorum, all that she showed. Right? Just for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. And one stroke Allah Ta'ala accepted. It reminds you of those three people that were stuck in the cave. And one of them was showing some khidmat to his parents. So for some reason he got delayed, came up, and they fast asleep. So the murk was in his hands. In the meanwhile, the children were crying. So no, I'll serve my parents first. Then, and now, so you see that the tarbiyat is not done, right? The tarbiyat is not done, you ask me, and I'll tell you, right? You got a brother, right? And for some reason you gave 50,000 men. But you didn't got the approval, you didn't get the approval from your wife. Why? The money grows on trees. You should have married him. This is the exact response you get from the wife. Why didn't you marry him? Marry him, you're giving everything away. So what will be left with? So now, your money also must be approved, endorsed by her before it's given to anybody. So is that zulm or not zulm? Will there be barakat in that house? No barakat. Because her stay there is just the money, the digits. That everything belongs to me and it must be meeting my approval for going out. It doesn't meet my approval, then she can't even spend it on his parents, brother, cousin, noble she must spend on me or get my approval. But who gave her that authority? The first in the life, man haqqurat, who is more deserving of my kindness? Ummak, my mother, your mother. And now, zawjak, what? Wife. And you don't want any trouble in the house, but peace now, no problem, no fight, maintain the peace and all it. Hazrat, Hazrat, this is peace, kya karna chahiye? So, where that love, that kindness is supposed to be going, it doesn't go there. That is why the hadith says, the hadith about shura, where your matters will be concluded by your wives. Your matters will be concluded, decided by your wives. Then the inside of the earth is better for you than the surface. See that? See that? So the father is forgotten, mother is forgotten, everything else is forgotten, and the wife becomes the primary person. Otherwise now, you don't do that, then say, all right, you love your mother too much and all that, go and live with them. But you should have got married to her. That's a comment that she'll give. And then she'll just turn the other side. And then now that one night she turns the other side, and now kabila bardash baat ho jati hai. When the patawa hai, rub her back, everything. But akal kahan gayi? Who came first? All the years of service, who did? Hamalathu ummu wahnan ala wahnin. Then the first person Allah speaks about after him is Bil Walidain. Now the Walidain are just thrown out, finished, discarded. Don't even listen to them, just do your own thing. See that? But you see this the tarbiyat wasn't done. When the tarbiyat wasn't done, you couldn't put things in perspective. You got the knowledge, got the information, but the tarbiyat wasn't done. The tarbiyat, the training, you didn't receive the training, so you didn't know how to work out yourself. And all this is because I say, Allah yazunnu ulaika annahum mab'usun. Don't they realize that they have to stand and give a detailed account before me? Don't they understand it? So the more you register this, that I will stand before Allah Ta'ala, then everything comes in perspective. Like, see, you're playing a football game, right? So the game is in perspective when you identify the goal. The goal that you have to score. But you didn't identify that goal which you have to score, will the game go right? Can you go right? You don't know. You score on your own side. Because you didn't identify. So your goal is the akhirat. When the goal is the akhirat, you didn't identify that, then your whole life will be in a disarray. So Allah says in the Quran, Sharif, it's akhirat. إِذَا وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقِيَةِ. That inevitable event has to come to pass. There is no lie about it. لَيْسَ لِوَقْعَتِهَا كَاذِبَةً. No lie. Absolutely, it's a fact. It's a truth. See, that's one of the more time that the tarbiyat was done, and he can't sleep. Just for that 5 cent. For that 5 cent, until it was not sorted out with his wife, he couldn't sleep. Because that thing is glaring. Isi halat mein agar maut aagayi to phir if malakul maut has to knock on my door now at this time, then see that idha rujjatil ardu rujja, the earth is shaken to its depths, wa bussatil jibalu bassa, and the mountains are crushed into powder, and then wa kuntum azwajan thalatha, you are then sorted out into three groups, some on the right of the arsh of the throne, the jannatis, and some on the left of the throne, that is the jahannamis, right? وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ, and the foremost, they will be in front of the throne. Right. So Allah is showing you how it will be, how it will work out on the day of Qiyamah. Right. Here in this world, you don't want to appear like a broken down Johnny, right? Friends got this, I got it. Right? So you don't appear as a broken down. So you're in the world, moving around, nobody must look down upon you. But are you concerned that you mustn't look like a broken down journey on the in the plains of Hashar? Huh? On the plains of Hashar, are you worried about that? That there you mustn't appear. Mal muflis. And he's speaking about who is that insolvent person. See that? He did so much of namaz, everything he did. But akala malahala. He robbed this person here. Shatamahala. He abused him, insulted him. Now, we don't think about these things. No more. And the Quran and the Hadith is so particular about this. Right? So, مَا يَلْفِزُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. It's one word. And these angels are just waiting to record it. Just one word. And what we don't say in the home, outside the home, to the staff, to the workers, to the seniors, to the people that are below us, what language you don't use? So that Hadith says, sometimes you say a word, right? And that word meets the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Then, eternal pleasure of Allah Ta'ala is recorded. Now for you, I'm ever going to be happy. There was not going to be a moment of disappointment. But that was the person who guarded himself, tongue. لكل أواب حفيظ. What is حفيظ? He's guarding himself. He's turning to Allah Ta'ala, but he takes stock of himself. Badri Alam Sahib Mahtari, so he's dictating one letter. I think Haji Nakhuda Sahib Rahmatullahi was doing the writing. So someone had lost his brother or someone, so a letter of condolence. So he says, uske par mujhe bara sadma hua. I felt very much affected, you know. So then after he says, no, leave out that very much. I was affected by the loss of your mother, but to say was very much, then I don't think I'm right for that. But you see, every word, they're guarding the word. See, the word is being guarded. You're taking note of it. You're not oblivious. You don't think, now, I'm set out. No. So sometimes you just utter one word and the eternal pleasure of Allah Ta'ala is decreed for you after that. But the opposite is also true, that one word you utter and eternal displeasure is written for you. Just the tongue. But you see the training that you need. So the parents have to see also what words they're using, children, what words they're using. How they're speaking, how they're conducting themselves, what they are supposed to be saying, what aren't they supposed to be saying, how they're supposed to be saying it. Father is not worried, mother is not worried, as long as all his things are done. His things are done, that he's a happy man. Allah Pak's things are done or not done, so Allah Pak gives them hidayat, they'll do it. But the same law can be applied about your things. Allah Pak gives hidayat, then the things will be done. Mulana Zahir Sahib, the Markaz, oh, 70s, he was there. So he says, the husband told the wife, you know, getting 10 mehman and see that it's well arranged, high profile mehman, and I'm seeing them after Maghrib, so please, everything must be prepared. So about 10-15 minutes before Maghrib, he pulled into the house and I said, Mewati is like the people a little bit living in the sticks, right? So she's sitting pretty well, nothing is prepared. What happened? No, I'm waiting for the hidayah to come. So Mora says, what the dhyati will do, what the village will do? He'll take out his stick, one shot, and immediately the hidayah will come. She thought that hidayah now is used to the convenience. But my stuff, my work, all that must be proper. to be done. My tea must be hot, boiling. And use this type of crockery for that. And then this type of biscuits, whatever. All that in place. And at this time, watch out, otherwise it goes against it in Shiva. But now who's worried about them womb making, rebirth, gossiping, wasting the time? Who's worried about that? I'm comfortable, that's enough. Are you worried about this? See, ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد. One word, and that's been recorded. So, these type of precautionary measures are used sometimes. See, we'll come back to the topic, right, but this will show you a precautionary measure. In Christianity, right, after Isa alayhi salam, so his followers now, his disciples, all that followers, they are spreading Christianity. And they're meeting up with a lot of opposition from the ruling class. The ruling class don't listen to all this thing. Now you're seeing that in the Muslim world today, right? And if a speaker speaks out openly, what happens? They'll throw him into prison and they'll throw the keys away. Won't that happen? Speaks out openly, true, factual. So they have to just remain silent. Right? So those ulama that were present at the time, righteous in the ulama, no chance. They're speaking out and they jail killed. So they thought, now we have to preserve the religion and protect ourselves as well, our own selves and the religion. I'll be preaching to them, they'll be getting in trouble, killed or persecuted or imprisoned. So now how do we preserve? So then they said, وَرَحْبَانِيَةً اِبْتَدَعُوهَا. Then they started off this monasticism. So what was this monasticism? That was now a life of isolation, away, not socializing, away from people. Like how you had gypsies and nomads, all that, away from people. And also preventing themselves from the luxuries of life. Right? Not believing that the luxury is haram, no. And not believing that the leaving of the luxury is an act of sawab, no. So these are two extremes. One is you left out the luxury, thinking and believing that the luxury is haram. That's wrong. And one is you left out the luxury, thinking that, leaving out the luxury is an act of sawab. But now, how else do we protect our deen? So we said, we're going to leave all these things here, not socialize and move away, just for our protection and the protection of our deen. Like in our terms, right? So, someone, he leaves out socializing. Not because leaving out socializing is haram. But he knows, if I'm going to socialize, meet up, talk, I'll get into some fight. If not a fight, then some argument. And not an argument, then I will be vulgar. If that doesn't happen, then sometimes I'll be engaged in some rebirth, or some gossiping, or some lie, right? Or ridiculing someone, running on someone. Now all these are sins. Now I know myself that I've got a certain limit. If I when I cross that limit, right, which is very much likely, then I'll get involved in a lot of things. The only thing I can do to protect myself is just leave out my socializing. So I don't say that socializing is haram. But if I'm going to go that way, then I'm going to get involved in one of these things. So to protect my deen, I just kept a distance. Right? Like how a doctor would tell you that to protect your health, then you have to just leave out sugar. Artificial sugar, just leave it out. So you don't think, you don't believe that artificial sugar is haram. But in order to protect your health, then you're taking these type of precautions. So the same way in tasawuf, in order to protect your deen, you are taking this type of precautionary measures. So we're coming back to this whole the verse of the Quran. وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ, the foremost. And وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ, the foremost will be the foremost. ثُلَّةٌ مِّنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنَ الْآخِرِينَ a huge number from the people of the past and a small number from the people of later times. Obviously from the past, it's an ending tafsir, but just the end of it, right? Is that from the period of the past, you talk of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba-i-Kiram, the great, great Imams, Tabi'een, etc. So that will be a huge number. But after that, say after the 7th, 8th century, do you find that class of people? You'll have, but not so many like we had then. Yeah. Every Sahabi is Adul. Every Sahabi is a Jannati. Every Sahabi is radiyallahu anhu. So that's already 124,000. Then their wives and the children, Tabi'een, running up. Sullatun min al-awwaleen, wa qaleelun min al-akhireen, but a few from later times. But now, when we hear about this, we also want to be grouped like that, right? Don't we? If they say, line up, all ulama and Muslims line up. We say, no, I'm a tawazu, I'm a kyaahu, haqeer, faqeer, we'll say that. No. You want to line up. You don't want to be identified as a kafir. Or you don't want to be identified as a jahil. So you line up according to how they tell you. So now, on the day of Qiyamah, who's going to be the foremost? Who's going to be the foremost? Sabiqoon, Sabiqoon. Ulaika al-muqarrabun. They'll be closest to Allah Ta'ala. But now, who's going to be this group? So, understand, life is just one opportunity. Life and time, the similarity in life and time is, it comes just once and never to be repeated. Right? Yesterday was Friday, right? The 5th or 6th of Muharram, right? Friday, right? Will that ever come back again? Came, it's gone, never to be repeated. So life is also the same, once and never to be repeated. That is what you make of that life. See, what we feel today, because we all tutored in secular education, right? All of us. So we think now, the life is about improving the lifestyle. What? Driving here, going holiday there, picnic here, eating this food here. That's all life about. This type of investment. So that's the life. But which are those people that feel that I want to be close to Allah Ta'ala? I want to get His love. I want to get His proximity. When I got Him, then the world is mine. Sama bi hamara, dunya bi hamara. The heavens are ours. The world is ours. But I need to get to Allah Ta'ala. How to get? So now, who are those people that are foremost? Frontline. Everybody uses his own brains. So there's some description that is given. One is this, when the truth is presented before them, they readily embrace it. When the truth is presented, they readily embrace it. Then the nafs doesn't become an impediment. Someone senior, someone great, and he has to say something, so you accept it, and you accept it wholeheartedly, immediately. In fact, on a lighter note, even if it is something that may be permissible in deen, right? But now a senior is there, and in respect of the senior, what are you supposed to be doing? As the Shaykh Mutale, sometimes, now, to wear the topi and eat is not an established sunnah, right? But now we don't see these things with children, this is how they all pull up the topis. Right? So now he's getting some mihman, and those mihman, they feel now you have to wear topis. So now he's receiving this type of guests. Then he'll tell his guests, he'll tell his house people, hey, there are topi la, topi la, falasa bare, the topi. Now why do they do that? Respect. See that tarbiyat is done. So they don't say, no, but hey, it's a hadith, this thing. Where is man coming out from? Sometime Abraul Haq Sahib is coming. Now he is very particular, Abraul Haq Sahib, rahmatullahi, that you can't be seated above the food. So the food should be above you. Because the food is like the host,
and you like the servant. So the food is supposed to be more respected than yourself. So the food should be slightly higher than the place that you are sitting. So if Brother Sabrahman is a great wali, but he's also a student of the Shaykh Al-Bukhari. So the Shaykh will say, is there a dastarkhan ko sahi kar do? Mura sab aa rahe, mura aa rahe. But now what an atmosphere it was. Atmosphere of love. وَلَن تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُوا. See, they learned, they taught us how to generate muhabbat. We said, no, I will do my thing. Who is he? He'll tell me 10 times also, I'll do my thing. Now see what this hadith is saying. When the truth is presented, then they accept it straight away. Then there's no dilly-dally, no delay, no further interpretations, they accept it straight away. And then, not only they accept it, first is they accept it, they embrace it. Number two is they apply it straight away. Now, how nice it is now. Tell the person, this is how it's supposed to be. Right? And straight away they listen. Straight away. Don't you feel nice? So the way, alright, you know, he's a passenger now. Let him enjoy the trip. That's how you'll take it. You'll take it. You won't take him as a person that you are bonding. No. Bonding is a different thing, different requirement. So first is you embrace it. Second is you apply it. And the third is, if you are deciding on a matter, right, then you decide as though, if it's, for example, it's between you and someone else, right? So you will try your best to see that his rights are respected more than your rights. Try your best to see that the opposition's rights are respected more than your rights. Now, these are the foremost. They say, life is just one chance. Gone is gone. Till atani, ati nip. There's also other explanations of who's the foremost. They come first for namaz, in the struggle of deen, mehnat, and effort of deen, they are first. Mehnat can mean a lot. Madrasa, Tabligh, Khanqa, whatever, but they are the foremost. They're there, and they're in the front line. Whether it's Jamaat, whether it's Jihad, whether it's Namaz, whether it is Khanqa, but they're the foremost. So in all good works, they're in the front line. That is why now, in the Jummah, the one that comes first, as though, أَنَّهُ نَحَرَ إِبِلًا جَمَلًا. Though he slaughtered a camel. But for that person who comes first. وَكُنْتُمْ أَزْوَاجًا ثَلَاثًا وَالسَّابِقُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. So they are the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's by, you've got just one chance. And you've got just one chance, then every second, just respect that. This chance is not going to come back again. Now we say, accept your mistake, accept it. That impediment that is coming and blocking your access, your success, just remove that. Hazrat used to give a story from Imam Ghazali Rahmatullahi. He says there's a drought, plants are all dying, animals are all dying, and the Nabi of the time is making dua. And no rain. Allah Ta'ala sends a revelation that you can cry until plants begin to grow from the ground, you're not going to get a drop of rain. So the Nabi is then informed, there is a person within you who breaks up family ties. So the great thing is not that he is good with me, so I am good. No. Even if he is not good, but I'll do my best to be good. After whatever happens, happens, but I'll try and be good to the person. So anyway, so the Nabi thinks now how to do it. Because Allah Pak has not identifying the person. This is the only other way is now. Because this crowd of 1,000 people, so we'll pull away one person and make dua. So we'll get to know now, exactly now, who is the person. Now, reach the 30th or the 40th person. This person that was guilty, he made dua, fixed everything up, whatever, whoever he broke up, and the rains came, nice rains came. So now the Nabi is asking Allah Ta'ala, Allah, who is that chosen servant of yours because of whose tawbah you all got blessed? So Allah Ta'ala's answer was, when he was fighting with me, I didn't expose him. Now he made peace with me, was exposing him. See? So as much as you were wrong, but when you went, made tawbah, clean yourself, you had that humility. See, this whole, the whole bottom line was that humility. Then how Allah Ta'ala embraces you, and not only embraces you, He also protects your reputation. Allah Maktoufi Yasi Kareem.